First case is Brown v. McDonough, 21-2238. Mr. Dojakis, you reserved 3 minutes of your time for rebuttal, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, we're ready when you are.
Okay. May it please the court. On behalf of Mr. Brown, I'd like to first thank this court for the opportunity to present his appeal. This appeal boils down to a single question. Are the 2011 request for benefit and the 1977 application for benefits the same? If so, Mr. Brown asked this court to find that when the board determined the scope of the 2011 request for benefits, it also determined the scope of the 1977.
Counselor, can you first address the issue of jurisdiction? Do we actually have jurisdiction in this case?
Yes, Your Honor.
There's been a remand by the lower court. And we have a pretty firm rule that we do not take an appeal, that we don't exercise a jurisdiction in cases where there's a remand below. There's no finality here.
Typically, Your Honor, yes, there is no finality in a remand order. However, this case satisfies the rules set forth in Williams. As we explained in our brief, the legal ruling that we are looking for this court to review is the Veterans Court's order for the board to review an unreviewable finding of fact. As we argued there and as I was getting into, there was only one claim adjudicated by the VA throughout this entire claim stream. When they granted the benefits in 2016, the VA very explicitly adjudicated the 1977 claim. That fact is undisputed. The board determined that claim, which was adjudicated in 2016 and later reviewed both by the higher level reviewer and the board, included a request for radiculopathy and the TDIU rating. That fact is undisputed. And under this court's, as articulated in Connolly and Peake, the application of law to the undisputed facts is a question of law. And so when the Veterans Court ordered the board to look again at these findings, that violated Mr. Brown's right to have a presumed the finding of fact in his favor under 38 U.S.C. 5104.
Are you going to be making these arguments on remand?
Which arguments, Your Honor?
Well, the ones you're making now.
On remand to the board?
Yes.
We certainly can. But our biggest problem with what the Veterans Court did is that the board is bound by the order of the Veterans Court. It must re-adjudicate the scope of the 1977 claim, regardless of whether it agrees with our argument under 5104A or the law of the case.
But if you ultimately don't prevail on that argument, and assuming that we were to dismiss, and you don't prevail on that argument before the board or the CAVC, you can still raise that argument when you come back here, can't you?
I think so, yes, Your Honor. However,
so that's not an argument that is lost by virtue of our failing to decide it now.
The argument is not lost, Your Honor, but his legal right to the protections of 5104A and the legal right to the protections under the law of the case doctrine are forever gone. He only gets this one chance because the Veterans Court has already reviewed the board's prior decision. Mm-hmm. And that is the harm, that is the legal right that he is asserting here to this court, that that statute and that rule of law apply to his case, and the Veterans Court has asked the board to violate precedent and the Congress's mandate that it is a binding finding.
But wouldn't that argument be applicable to any case in which you're arguing that there should have been a disposition in the veteran's favor by the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, and there wasn't, and instead they remanded? It seems to me you're saying that procedurally he's been forced to go through a process that he should not have been forced to go through.
I don't think that our argument would apply to every situation, particularly where there are findings of fact at issue. Perhaps with some legal rulings, but I would draw the court's attention to its ruling in Dombach. And we cited this case in our briefing. There the Veterans Court remanded Mr. Dombach's appeal, telling the board that a certain statute, 1154B, did not apply to his case. And this court held that that shifted the evidentiary burdens, and that was a final legal determination by the Veterans Court. And we think this case falls within the gambit of that ruling. It's somewhat similar. It's not the same. As the government pointed out in their briefing, the Veterans Court did not interpret a statute, but it did issue a ruling that shifted the evidentiary burdens on remand.
Now, Dombach, if I recall, was pre-Williams, right? Williams is the case that are familiar with that set out the rule that the presiding judge just articulated. So I'm wondering if there's anything post-Williams that would indicate that a situation like this, or even such as Dombach, would lead to the conclusion that a decision without a remand has to be made by this court.
I'm not familiar with any case law post-Williams, Your Honor, but I do think that looking at Williams and kind of the whole series of cases that led up to Williams, right. Dombach informed its decision and was kind of incorporated. I read Williams to kind of reiterate all of the case law that talked about non-final remand order, or I'm sorry, final determinations within a remand order. And I read Dombach to still be good law because, again, it's a legal determination that shifts the evidentiary burden on remand. And to reiterate, and this to me is the most important aspect that I want to get across to this court, is that the legal right to not have this reviewed is guaranteed under statute by Congress and under precedent in the law of the case doctrine. And the Veterans Court order takes that legal right away from Mr. Brown forever. Even though he has the opportunity to present it to the board, and if the board ignores it, present it to the Veterans Court, and eventually come back here, he lost that right forever. And those are legal rights that are guaranteed to him, again, by Congress and by precedent both in this court and the United States Supreme Court. And that really boils down to what the harm is in the Veterans Court's ruling. And to touch again on the third aspect of Williams, or the third element of Williams, that there's a substantial risk that this decision will not survive a remand. Mr. Brown cannot unring this bell. Once, without intervention by this court, he will never again receive his legal right to an unreviewable favorable finding of fact. And this, all that matters in this case is that Mr. Brown has a legal right to not have to relitigate this issue, the scope of the 1977 claim, and the Veterans Court order takes that right away from him. If there are no further questions, then I will save the bulk of my time for rebuttal, and see what the government has to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Counselor. Councilor Akers?
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The Court should dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction under this Court's well-established rule of finality. As this Court held in Williams and all of the cases that we cited in our brief thereafter, this Court generally does not review non-final remand determinations from the Veterans Court, especially like this Court held in Williams, when the Veterans Court remands for the purpose of additional factual findings as a predicate to the Veterans Court reviewing the issues that are presented to it. That's exactly what happened here. At the Veterans Court, the parties argued or briefed whether 38 CFR 3.156C applied to the claim here, whether there was an earlier effective date. The Veterans Court found that there were no factual findings on the issue made by that board. And the board is the entity responsible for making factual findings as to the scope of a claim. That's established case law cited at page 21 of our brief. Because the board never made the requisite factual findings, the Veterans Court couldn't review the legal issues that were presented on appeal. And so this was the perfect example of the Veterans Court using its remand authority to gather more facts at the board so that it could review the arguments that Mr. Brown is now making. In this case, Mr. Brown would have to show that the three Williams factors are present to overcome the rule of finality. We've briefed it extensively, but he doesn't meet any of those factors, most obviously the factor that there has to be a clear and final legal determination. The Veterans Court here did not make a legal determination. It held it was precluded to do so based on the board's lack of factual findings.
Well, suppose he's right on the merits of his claim that the effect of the proceedings to date have been to create, in effect, a factual determination as to the scope of the 1977 claim in his favor. If he's right about that, then why isn't it the case, as he says, that forcing him to go through a further remand for a factual determination that's irrelevant to the ultimate determination of the case is, in effect, taking away the benefit of that kind of automatic factual determination, which should be law of the case?
Well, if it were law of the case, Your Honor, it's never been stated on paper. Notably, Mr. Brown never cites where the board made this factual finding.
Okay, but you're saying now that, well, he doesn't have that clear right. But accept my hypothetical that suppose we were to conclude he's right about the merits. He shouldn't have to go, you know, deal with this factual dispute again. Is it the case that that means, as he says, that he doesn't now have to go back through the remand process and back through the CAVC? Or is there a reason that you think that he does? And if so, why?
Your Honor, I think that he still has to go back through the process either way, because the Veterans Court remanded back to the board. And this court doesn't have jurisdiction over the application of law to facts or factual determinations. So even if, under Your Honor's hypothetical, the Veterans Court missed this factual finding that the board made, that doesn't give this court jurisdiction to review the Veterans Court's determination as to factual findings.
There is an exception to the rule, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Why doesn't that exception apply here?
Well, for all three of the Williams factors reasons. First, there was no legal determination. And I think it's important to pay attention to what counsel said today. He said that he's asking the court to review the Veterans Court's legal ruling of reviewing a finding of fact. So by his own words, the first Williams factor is not met. There's not been a clear and final legal determination. We're talking about a finding of fact. The scope of the 1977 claim is a finding of fact that must be made. Under the second Williams factor, he too cannot meet it. There's nothing that's prejudicial or harmful to Mr. Brown by sending this back to the board. If it's as obvious as Mr. Brown says...
I understand his argument to be that if you send it back to the board, it's either going to vitiate or moot the favorable decision that they already have.
Well, Your Honor, if it's as obvious as Mr. Brown says, and the board already made this factual determination, and it's sent back to the board, I would imagine the board would say, we've already made this factual determination, and they would make it again. There would be no reason for the board to change its mind if it already very clearly made this factual finding that Mr. Brown purports it to have made, even though he's never cited anything in the board's decision where it said that. Mr. Brown essentially infers that the board made this factual finding, but it's in the board's purview to actually say in the first instance whether it did make this factual finding or whether it didn't. So now, he doesn't meet the second Williams factor either.
To be clear, you're not contending that if this goes back and the board should make a specific factual finding against him on the question of the scope of the 1977 claim, that he can't later go to the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims and then ultimately to us and make the argument that he's making now.
Of course he could. And that's why he doesn't meet the third Williams factor, because no argument would be mooted. He could make the same law of the case argument at the Veterans Court and here. He could come back here and say, Your Honor, there was a legal determination by the board. It was sent back down. The board made a contrary legal determination, although it's a factual determination, and they proceeded on that. So his argument's not going to be mooted, which is the third Williams factor. So under all three of the Williams factors, Mr. Brown's appeal cannot proceed in this court.
How do you distinguish Dombach?
Well, I think the main distinguishing factor, Your Honor, is what Your Honor already pointed to, is that it's prior to the seminal case on the final rule finality topic, Williams. The other factual...
Williams called out Dombach, didn't overrule it, distinguish it on its facts, but what is the... Assuming that Dombach survives Williams, and the fact that Williams acknowledged Dombach would suggest that it does survive Williams, what's the distinction?
Yeah, and I'm not meaning to suggest that it's overruled. It's just that it didn't go through the same analysis that Williams did. So the distinction there is the evidentiary burden was changed on the veteran. The Veterans Court made a legal ruling that made it harder for the veteran to obtain the relief that he sought. And so this court explained that because the evidentiary burden changed, that would forever change the course of that litigation. In this case, no evidentiary burden is changing. All the Veterans Court has done here is ask that a factual finding be made as to the import of the 2016 decision and 3.156 subsection C, which is exactly what Mr. Brown wants. He wants relief under 3.156C because that would give him an earlier effective date. The Veterans Court is unable to provide the relief that he seeks until there are those factual findings made. And so under all three of the Williams factors, Mr. Brown cannot prevail. And even if he were to somehow get past the Williams factors, the relief that he seeks is similarly outside the jurisdiction of this court. He's asking this court to tell the Veterans Court that the 1977 claim is the effective date. That finding has never been made by the Veterans Court. It's never been made by the board, and it certainly can't be a factual finding made by this court within this court's jurisdiction. So Mr. Brown's appeal fails under the rule of finality because he can't meet the three Williams factors and because the relief that he seeks is outside the jurisdiction of this court.
Is the decision really a factual decision that we're being called upon to decide, or is it really a legal determination of the effect of the procedures to date? It seems to me his argument is that this is a deemed fact that's compelled to be deemed by virtue of the legal consequences of what is undisputed that has happened so far in the procedures.
That is what he's arguing. The problem with
that's not a factual finding. That's a legal determination that he is saying was erroneously made by the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims.
Well, implicit in his argument is that there have been those factual findings, which we dispute, which the Veterans Court has found were not made. If all the factual findings were made and we were actually talking about the law of the case, then yes, perhaps it would be a legal question. But the factual findings have never been made, and I would point your honors to Appendix 7 at Note 1, for example, where the Veterans Court explained that the board never talked about the import of the 2016 decision that Mr. Brown now claims is established fact. Well, it can't be established fact unless the board finds it. The board's purview is to find facts in these cases, and it didn't in this case. So there are no established facts, and that's exactly what warranted the remand to the board. For all those reasons, Your Honor, did Your Honor have a question?
I did have one little question. Okay. So you typically, and I would say you and your colleagues typically say, dismiss for lack of jurisdiction or affirm. Listening to your argument, I'm assuming you're really riding the horse of dismiss for lack of jurisdiction.
That's correct,
fair?
Your Honor.
Okay.
I think that's the appropriate posture given what other cases have done in this situation when a veteran appeals a non-final remand order. Thank you.
Let me just ask one
sure.
further question. Again, I'm on the question of the Dombach distinction that you were drawing. Would it not be the case that Mr. Dombach, had he lost his case up here and the case had been kicked back to the CAVC and the board, would still have been able to raise the issue that he ultimately prevailed on in a later proceeding before us?
Your Honor, I believe in Dombach, the court, in sort of a cursory manner, one sentence, found that he would be precluded from doing so and didn't really expand on that. But I think that the important thing to note is the Williams factors, you have to meet all three of them. So even if he could have raised that later, the evidentiary burden that changed, and the adversary nature of remanding, he met those. And so in this case, though, Mr. Brown, he could present these arguments again on appeal. He said so himself here today.
Bellbrook involved interpretation of a statute.
That's correct, Your Honor. Under the first Williams factor, that was clear. It's also missing here. Thank you, Your Honors.
John, you see, you have 3 minutes of rebuttal time left.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, you have more, but that's what you had actually.
Yes, Your Honor. I may need all of it that's remaining because there was quite a bit that was discussed here. I just want to start with addressing Judge Bryson's comments. The hypothetical that you presented, Your Honor, is exactly correct. The application of undisputed fact to the law is a question of law. And the legal consequence of the proceedings is that the claim granted in the 2006 agency decision was the 1977 claim. The VA never adjudicated a 2011 claim for benefits. The 2011 claim for benefits, during the process of that claim, the VA received new service records, and the VA clearly, and I point the court's attention to the appendix starting at page 86, where they granted an effective date of 1977 and very clearly articulated on appendix at 91, where they applied 3.156C. 3.156C only applies after, I'm sorry, C3 only applies after C1 has already been established, new service records that are relevant have been presented, and the earlier claim was reconsidered. So the board's finding with respect to what happened after 2011 is directly informs what the scope of the claim that was reconsidered under 3.156C1.
It did not decide the scope.
The board did not make an official finding or an explicit finding of what the scope of the claim is in those terms.
But that's what you're arguing.
But
your case.
Yes, Your Honor. No, well, what I mean is the board did not use those words. It did not use that terminology.
No, but that's your case. You're arguing that the board made statements or findings that the 1977 claim is now the new date.
No, Your Honor. And that's
service connection.
That was one of the points that I wanted to raise in response to the government. Mr. Brown has never asked this court and does not ask this court to assign an effective date. That question is for the board to do in the first instance.
But your argument has already made that decision.
No, Your Honor.
We're afraid of losing that decision.
No, Your Honor. What we are at saying that the board determined was that the scope of the claim included a request for TDIU rating and radiculopathy ratings. Whether he's entitled to those ratings needs to go back to the board to determine, as we pointed out in our briefs, the effective date, both under 5110 and 3.156C3. And I'll quote C3 here because it was applied by the VA, is that an effective date on the date is effective on the date entitlement arose or the date VA received the previously decided claim. So there's two questions that need to get decided. When did the date entitlement arose, which has generally been construed by the courts, particularly the Veterans Court, to mean when did his disability manifest? When does the evidence show that he had disability? Or the date VA received the previously decided claim? That second part has already been adjudicated, has already been decided in Mr. Brown's favor, and that's the question that Mr. Brown is challenging here. That's the issue he's challenging here. When was the application received? Then it goes back to the board, and they determine when did his disability manifest. Because under the board's current determination, it ignored that the VA had already reconsidered his 1977 claim and started in 2011 instead of 1977. And when the Veterans Court's order, well, let me back up. When the board made the determination, that the benefits that he was granted in the 2016 decision included a request for a TDIU rating and a request for the radiculopathy rating. Just a request, not an entitlement, but a request. It was the application of those undisputed facts to the law under 3156C means that the two claims are identical, or essentially, whether you want to look at them as being identical or as the 2011 claim kind of falling off and being replaced by the 1977 claim, the result is the same. The VA granted the 1977 claim, and when the board told Mr. Brown that that claim included the TDIU rating and the radiculopathy rating, that means that the 1977 claim required the VA to consider those ratings as well. And again, that's the very limited remedy that we're seeking from this court, is to remind or to order the board to look at the 1977 claim and determine when did his disability manifest, so that it can determine the proper ratings. I'd like to point out too that the government acknowledged that Dombach, the reason it was a legal ruling was because it made it harder for him to prove his claim. It removed a statute. The Veterans Court essentially said 1154B does not apply to you, Mr. Dombach. Here, Mr. Brown is asserting the exact same ruling from the Veterans Court. 5104A does not apply to you, Mr. Brown. Law of the case does not apply to you, Mr. Brown. And as our last point is, I would, one thing that's been overlooked by all of this is that the law of the case applies to this remand order by the Veterans Court. The board is bound by this. The Veterans Court has already made a determination that no finding with respect to the scope of the 1977 claim has been made. That is incorrect as the undisputed facts applied to the law. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We have the parties' arguments. We'll take them under advisement.